Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
It's the Danny Show. It's the Danny Show. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the Danny Show. It's so bad and so sexy. You're gonna love it, baby. I wanna do this show.
With my special guest today, Gary Cannon.
Hey, all right, guys, how are we doing today? So, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Danny McDermott. This is the Danny McDermott Show. Why I have a show, I have no idea. I do not deserve it, but I do want to thank you for your faith in me for no reason. I do appreciate it. I really do. I mean, that's what we're all about, Americans, faith in nothing, which is great. So welcome to the show. I'm actually feeling pretty well today. I actually bought a mattress. Finally. See, what happened was when this whole stay at home order happened, I actually traveled across the country. I drove my car to be near my son. I don't know if I said this in the other episodes, but I drove across to my hometown of Albany, New York. Now I'm in Schenectady, which is right next to Albany, staying with my buddy Steve, who's also a writer on the show. And I when I first moved here, he wasn't ready for anybody to stay here. So I, at first, like 2-3 months, I was sleeping on a futon. If any of you has ever slept on a futon, it's like sleeping on a freshly packed grave. Okay. It's like the dirt. It's just like, it's not comfortable. Okay. You can't, after like a few days, you can't breathe. Okay. Because your lungs and your diaphragm are all screwed up. You know what I mean? So Steve was nice enough. He realized I was in pain. I started walking around like a little old man. So he went to his parents' place and he picked up a mattress from his parents. They were sweet enough to give this mattress, this whole bed actually, so that I could sleep. Unfortunately, the mattress was from the 1950s. And I can tell you, I now understand why people died young back in the 50s. I really do. I mean, seriously, I think the mattress came with a coupon for back operation, for surgery or something, you know? I mean, everything hurt, okay? I had back pain, I had hip pain, I had neck pain. I had to buy a life alert bracelet because I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to get up, okay? I was terrified, okay? It was horrible. I mean, I seriously... I think I started losing my sight. I just started to smell like an old person. Kevin, you know what I'm talking about. It was bad. I became impotent. I mean, thank God for those gas station goat pills, or I wouldn't have gotten laid. I mean, oh no, great. Because of that joke, I already got an ad for Cialis. Nice. Thanks, Alexa. She's always watching. Listen, I can tell you, if anybody wants to get rid of someone, they want to make it look like an accident, I'll sell you the mattress. That should take care of it all. Yeah. So one of the craziest things, I don't want to talk a lot about topical stuff today, but I do want to bring up Jeffrey Toobin. Have you guys heard about this? Can we have the overlay for a second here? I want to show people this story. No, not that one. No, that's a joke for later. What are you doing? You're ruining it. Nope. Everybody forget they saw that. Okay. Bring up the one with the newspaper ad about what happened. This is awesome. It should be in the overlays as well. Can you find it? All right, so what happened is he's in a Zoom meeting with all these politicians, and we're going swimmingly, by the way. You know, this is what happens when you can't afford to hire an engineer. So Now it's the background. Okay. You want take me out for a second, but keep my voice going so they can see that picture. Now it's Kevin again. Okay, let's get it back to me. We're still in the monologue. Okay, so Jeffrey Toobin, okay, this guy was in a meeting with a bunch of politicians and very, very famous, well-known politicians. The guy wrote for The New Yorker and did some stuff with CNN, and he started jerking off, and he thought that they couldn't see him or something. The guy started jerking off in front of everybody. In front of everybody. I mean, how boring does a Zoom meeting have to get where you have to just start jerking off? I mean, really? I mean, did he finish? That's what I want to know. I mean, I want to see the footage. I don't want to see all the footage, just from like here up, you know? I want to know if he finished. I mean, I personally, if I was in that Zoom meeting, I'd be worried he's jerking it to me, you know? I feel a little awkward if he was, you know? I mean, I feel a little bad for him, I got to admit, you know, because I mean, the guy obviously really loves his job, you know, a little too much. But we shouldn't be hard on him, you know. I mean, you know what? Someone should throw him a bone. Apparently, he's a smart guy, right? He's a smart guy. I mean, could this be called a stroke of genius? I mean, come on. I think, what was it? What were they doing? I think they were doing a mock erection. I mean, mock election, sorry. I mean, a Zoom meeting, really? I mean, what, you know, when he, I just imagine when he's watching the opening for the Brady Bunch, he just shoots a load right away. Because it's like a Zoom meeting. Get it? Okay. All right. All right. That's my monologue. So what'd you think, Kevin? What do you think of that whole Toomey thing?
Well, I'd say the rest of his promotional pictures will be from the knees up.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't want to, I really, oh wait, you mean from the head down, you mean from the chest down? I think whatever, that's what you mean.
Whatever it takes for a good defense in court.
Oh my God, it's crazy, dude. I mean, it had to happen sometime, right? I mean, there had to be someone that was going to do it eventually.
You think his new nickname is Squirt?
I mean, I mean, Kevin, you're lucky you, it didn't happen to you first.
Listen, you never see me above the waist. I mean, from below the waist. You have no idea how much I enjoy this show, Danny.
That was a Freudian slip, my friend. By the way, did you see the ghost cup I got? I got a ghost cup.
Nice.
Yeah, this is my ghost cup. It's my cup died like a few months ago. And but you know what? It's stuck around. You know, I'm not, you know, I can still use it. Why send it to heaven? Why don't go to the light? Stay with me, you know?
You went into pottery later.
Okay, so before we go into our first segment, I'd like to thank our sponsors, our producers, everybody who's helping us work on this program. Jerry G. Angelo, Robert Dumond. I hope I did that right. I don't think it's Dumond. I know people mess that up, Robert. I messed it up last time. That's why I'm ripping on Robert. Bill Victor, thank you, Bill. Oh man, this is a tough one. Larry Butler, but not Larry. That's not the hard part. But there's Arucan, A-R-U-C-A-N-G, Larry Butler. Thank you, Larry. Can I call you Larry? You can tell me how to pronounce it later. And Jimmy Starr and Sumner Twins. Thank you guys so much. Let's hear it, Kevin. Let's hear it for them.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh my God. We got a great show going on. Oh, Bill Victor. See, you messed it. It's Bill Victor Arucan. And, oh, I see. It's on the first. You know what I did? I put it on my notepad, and it word wrapped. And it looks like it's the beginning of Larry's name. That's okay. So, yeah, we need a new method. We need a new method for sure.
That's fine.
So I'm excited tonight, Kevin. I'm excited. Don't throw a boner. Thank you, Larry. I think he made a boner when he got caught in two different ways. Ooh. thank you, Miss Kim. We are the best. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, so wait, I wanted to say this. I'm very excited because we have gotten some breaking technology, Kevin.
I'm excited. Tell me about
it. Yes, yes. Well, you don't know about it yet.
That's why I want to hear about it.
Okay. It's breaking technology. What it does is it's a device that can take video and gain access to the actual thoughts. It can take a video of an animal, of animals, and it can actually gain access to the actual thoughts in the animal's head and convert those thoughts to English. Okay. So I'm very excited about this. But you remember the guy that was chased by the cougar?
I do.
Okay. What we're going to do is we played that last week. What we're going to do is we're going to play it again, but this time we're going to hear the thoughts of the cougar. And this is technology only licensed and registered to the Danny McDermott Show, guys.
Cutting edge.
Exciting stuff. It's amazing that they can even do this. All right. So let me get to that. We're going to get to that footage. Hold on. Kevin, be annoying or something. Here we go. You ready? We're going to play it, and we're going to play it with the actual the thoughts of the cougar. Here we go.
I'm big and...
What are you doing near my kids, man? What are you doing near my kids?
Go away.
No, you go away. You near my kids.
Go get your babies.
You were trying to get my boy. You took pictures of my babies. You think I don't know this video? You. I'm gonna kill you, man. What are you, some kind of bestiality pedophile, dude? I don't know what you're saying. You're an idiot. Just get out of here. Were you gonna save the video for the spank bank? What's wrong with you, man? I'm scary because I'm gonna eat you right now. You looking tasty, you big pink ape. No, I'm not. No, you go away. Yeah, come on, man. I'll take you right now. I will kick your ass.
No.
Yes, you bastard. Holy, don't swear around my children. Don't you swear around my children.
Gosh, fuck. Where's my
kid? Oh, I'm going to eat you. I'm telling you.
There we go, Kevin. What do you think of that?
That's the very cutting edge of technology, Danny.
Isn't that cutting edge? I think that's very cutting edge technology.
And it's exclusive to the Danny McDermott Show.
Exclusive. Only for us.
Nobody else has
this technology.
I want to see a squirrel that witnessed the whole thing and see what it thought.
That's awesome. We should definitely do a squirrel thing. Oh, my God. So, thank you. Bill says it's funny.
is that a record for us?
I know, right? It's pretty cool, man. I think we got a couple more segments here, but how was your week? How are you doing, buddy?
Well, by comparison to Jeffrey Toobin, not as good as the beginning of his week, but better than the end.
Can you imagine? This guy is like one of the biggest guys in politics, and he's on the news and all this stuff. You know, Republicans are having a field day with this, but we don't do politics on the show.
No, but he's got to make eye contact with a guy and ask for a sandwich that he knows. And he knows that guy knows.
I seriously think he was whacking off to one of the hot politician chicks.
I don't think the sandwich is going to have mayonnaise.
On that note, let's go to the next segment. All right, let's roll the next segment clip. Here we go.
Really stupid celebrity quotes.
All right.
Oh, man, I was going to jerk off. I was hoping that you'd be caught in the act, Kevin, right there. I really was. Okay, we're not supposed to have the banner yet, but that's okay. So what this is, this segment is we have real quotes from real celebrities. And you've got to guess who the celebrity is. How does that sound to you, Kevin?
I'm ready.
I'm excited about this. All right, so the first quote, which now the banner comes up, okay. number one, I've never really, by the way, I love our engineer, Angela. She's amazing. We just barely rehearsed this. This is the first time having her as an engineer. Kevin, let's have a round of applause for Angela.
And listen, we had cutting edge animal thought technology. We need to balance it out. That was a big part of the focus this week. So.
Right, right. You know. Anyway, by the way, you could do a real clap instead of golf claps, Kevin. I mean, it's kind of disrespectful. What was this fake, you know, really? There you go. Clap. All right. Fake celebrity quotes. Number one. I've never really wanted to go to Japan simply because I don't like eating fish. And I know that's very popular out there in Africa. Can you believe that this person is a celebrity? I mean, do you realize how hard it is to become a celebrity? How much work it takes? How much, you know what I mean? It's like.
Well, if they don't like eating fish, what do they like to do with fish? Like, why is it necessary to say you don't like eating them?
Yeah. And why would you not travel to a country just because you don't like fish? They're not going to force feed you the fish, right? It's like you get off the plane. Welcome to Africa. Not that it's Africa. It's first they say Japan. Apparently there's an Africa in Japan, at the city of Africa in Japan. Welcome to the city of Africa in Japan. Shove fish in your face. Not going to happen. All right. So let's see who our choices are for this one. A, Justin Bieber. B, Britney Spears. Or C, Kylie Jenner.
That's
I wonder if anybody that's commenting on the show has a guess for this. What do you think, Kevin?
A or B?
A or B. You got to pick one, Kevin. That's why it's multiple choice.
I'll go with B.
You go with B?
I'll go with
B. All right, I'm going to go with A because I want it to be Justin Bieber. And Linda Gooten says Kylie Jenner. All right, what did you say again? Is this person a pop? No. No, we just had the three. We just had the three guesses. It can't be none of these. I hope none of them are going to be politicians. Can you imagine Justin Bieber for president?
No, Canada.
he during the debates he tried to knock someone out. You know, he learned all that boxing, right?
He's from Canada. He'll have to fight Trudeau.
There you go. The first two have been around the world a lot. Okay, that's a good point, Linda. Okay, Bill thinks Britney. I'm gonna say A, Justin Bieber, because I want it to be him so badly. So badly. All right, let's see who it is. Britney Spears. That's what you guessed, right?
I did.
That's back when she was hot.
It is.
Yes. Is she still hot? I haven't seen her in a long time.
I don't know, but I don't like New Jersey because I hate Utah.
Yeah, you can take the picture down now. the pictures only need to stay up.
Well, if Tubin sees the picture, he may need another 30 seconds.
You needed it. You were whacking off just now.
Golf clap.
golf clap for the whack off. On behalf of Canada, my bad on the Bieber thing. Okay, we'll forgive you, Totness. All Totness's fault. All Totness's fault. All right, let's go to number two. I actually don't like thinking. I think people think I like to think a lot, and I don't. I do not like to think at all. That's a lot of thinks. He thinks they don't know grammar. Right? All right. Let's see who we got to choose from. A, Kanye West. B, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Did I pronounce that right? Or C, Ariana Grande. I always wondered why her last name is Grande, but she's tiny. She's little. She's itty bitty. Man, that's a tough one. Well, I really don't think the guy who narrated Cosmos, I really did the host of that. I really don't think he doesn't like to think. I think he likes to think. Daniel says Kanye West.
What do you think, Kevin? Unless Neil was performing a little experiment on himself with some chemicals, I don't think it was him.
Right, right. Maybe he was doing some drugs and he said that. Maybe that's what happened.
I'm going to say Ariana Grande.
I'm going to go with Kanye West. Uh-huh. Let's see who it is. Yes! Oh. Yes, Kanye West. I knew it. You can take that down. Thank you. I don't like looking at his face. No offense, Kanye. No, actually, offense. You shouldn't be running for president. We're not getting into politics, though. Okay. Who's going to vote for him? Tubin?
All right. No one is thinking.
Let's go to the next one. When asked about a recent overseas trip he or she took, they said, no, I didn't go to England. I went to London. That's Steve's laughing back here. That's a funny one. That's a really very stupid person. Yeah. Let's see our who do we have to pick from? What are our choices here? A, Kim Kardashian. B, Shaquille O'Neal, who was a flat earther for a while. Do you remember that? He was a flat earther for a while. Do you remember that?
I do. And at his height, you'd think he could see the curve.
Right? Or maybe he's so tall, it just looks flat to him. He just looks down and it's flat. Or C, Paris Hilton. God, this is a hard one. It could be any of them.
You know?
Can we choose all of them?
I'm going to say someone named Paris is going to be excited about London. I think that's a city-centric point of view from the name out, and I'm going with C, Paris Hilton.
All right, but you would think that with a name like Paris, she would know cities better than that.
I just think that she just jumps at the city. So
Shaq, I'm going to go with, let me see the choices again. I'm going to go with Kim Kardashian.
All right.
All right, let's see who it is. What?
Cities?
She's an heiress to the hotel chain.
Cities her and name cheap is hotels. City.
How does she not know this?
There's a London Hilton, but there's no England Hilton.
Oh my God. All right, let's go to the next one. Next one. I'm losing bad on this one. All right. Number four, smoking kills. If you're killed, you've lost an important part of your life.
Yeah, the part they call the rest.
Oh my God. If you kill, okay, let's see who it is. Let's see. A, Tyra Banks, B, Brooke Shields, or C, Jaden Smith.
I gotta go with Jaden Smith.
I was gonna say it too. I gotta go with Jaden Smith too, because Jaden, you know, he's raised with all the spiritual stuff, and maybe he was saying it some kind of spiritual way. Well, let's see who said it. Oh my God.
Did she go to Princeton?
She's smart. What? Oh my God. Don't leave that one up. Kevin will be jerking off to that one for sure.
I'm going to guess she was part of the Neil deGrasse Tyson experiment.
Yep. Yeah. She took some kind of drug. That had to be it. She was on Ambien. She had, what was it? John Stamos said she had jet lag. Remember when he cheated? It's got to be jet lag. Okay, how many more do we have? Let's do another one. We got to finish this up because our guest is waiting in the green room. All right, number five. Asked whether or not they support gay marriage. No, I think gay marriage is something that should be between a man and a woman. Oh, that is a good one. That I think gay marriage. That's weird. How are you going to be gay when you're two? It doesn't make sense. How can a man and woman be gay together?
I'm not judging.
I'm guessing there's a strap on involved. I don't know.
Still not judging.
All right. Let's see the choices. A, Tim Allen. B, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or C, Kellyanne Conway. God, that really sounds like Kellyanne Conway.
I got to go with Tim Allen.
That's a tough choice. I'm going to guess with Schwarzenegger because it's funnier. I'm going to guess Schwarzenegger. All right, let's see who it is. Yes! Yes! Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think gay marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Nice. Nice. Let me see how many more we have here.
All right.
We have to finish up here. Let's go do the next one. Is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it.
Seems like it.
That's it. Okay, excellent, excellent. So, guys, I'm very excited about the show. Thank you guys for watching. Hey, Michael Cicciola. What's up, brother? This man recently survived. This guy, Michael Cicciola, is one of my best friends in the world. Shout out to Mike. Mike beat cancer after they told him he was going to die. He beat cancer. And I'll tell the whole story. I got to have you on sometime, Mike. But Mike, then he just beat COVID. And he thought he was going to die. He was on the ventilator and everything. Let's hear from Mike Cicciola. He beat COVID. Love you, Mike. In Austria, is there a difference? Probably not. That's a reference to gay porn, folks, or to Austrian porn, I think. Hey. I think. Not that I've heard. Okay. Guys, my next guest is an incredibly funny comedian, my only guest, aside from Kevin, which he's getting fired by the end of this show. My next guest has been, I've done comedy shows with him. He's done podcasts with Steve Byrne. He's a writer for different shows. He warms up the audience for Conan O'Brien. Let's have it, hear it, guys, for Gary Cannon.
Gary, how did my video look?
Dude,
you can see me?
Barely.
You can't barely. See me all the way over?
Not too well, buddy.
I'm in the car, and I don't know how to lighten this up. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You know what we'll do?
Let's see. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No complaints, Gary.
If you want to give me 2 minutes, I can run in the house and do it. It's up to you. Unless it looks okay.
Yeah, because right now it feels like we're talking to Deep Throat.
Yeah, it looks very odd. You want to give me 2 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay, this is give me 2 minutes.
It's Kevin's job to fill up the slack.
Okay. Give me 2 minutes. I'm coming right back.
All right. We'll see you in 2 minutes. Oh, nice. All right, Kevin, you're on.
To shoot him from the waist down.
What was that?
I said you're on. Steve said to shoot him from the waist down.
So there were some of those earlier pictures back up. Let's see what we can do here.
You want no. Let's let's tell them about the Living in Corona series is going to be animated soon.
Oh, beautiful!
Yeah, did you hear about? So those of you guys who have been following me on YouTube, I've got the Living in Corona series that's been going on. It's about a man who is in quarantine and he starts losing his mind and turning into split personalities. Kevin's seen it, right? You've seen it?
I have.
You know, I'm not sure you have. I think you might be lying to me. You ever have that friend who says they watch your shit and then they never watch anything?
Oh, yeah.
Are you one of those, Kevin, or do you actually watch? You ever want to quiz those people? Go, really? You watched it? Really? Yeah? How'd you like the hermaphrodite scene? How'd you like that?
Did you see that? Did not see it.
Yeah? You didn't see it?
Did not see it.
Okay, maybe you did watch it. Anyway, so this series, I play as multiple personalities. Sometimes I can even, with the editing, I can get them all in the same room. It's called Living in Corona. It's on YouTube right now. We should show the banner for the donations too, because we need donations to make the show better. I'll put that at the bottom on the ticker there. So let's show the engineer. Engineer, let's show the picture of the cartoon. That should be in the overlay section. Ah, look at that. Okay.
Aha.
Is that cool? Did you see that yet, Kevin?
I did not see that. That's awesome.
Oh, you didn't see it? All right. So the guy with the making the muscles, that's Tex. He's the guy who won't stop working out. Then we got the guy with the, who looks like he's high, but he's actually depressed. That's Jeff. He's constantly trying to kill himself or you know, take pills to, you know, whatever. Then we've got, oh, yeah, thank you, Daniel, for the art. Daniel Crozier. Ow. See, I gotta learn that. See, I didn't take the time to learn how to pronounce these names. Crozier. And then the guy with the glasses, that's my midlife crisis. That's Earl. Then the guy who looks like he's high but happy, that's Ray. Ray is the very happy guy. He's happy no matter what. Ray's he's happy about everything. And then, of course, you got the anal retentive guy, Phil. And that's going to be a series. So you can take that down now. So that's fantastic. A series. That is a series, a live series with me, but it's going to be a series animated hopefully soon, which I'm very, very excited about.
And where can we see this? The YouTube channel?
Yeah, my YouTube channel, which I don't think we have a banner for that, but maybe the engineer can create one. Create one with my YouTube link. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right. Yes.
Have you seen John Cleese's posts?
That's a lot of pressure. Who's John Cleese?
What? 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 Have you seen Monty Python's Flying Circus?
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes.
Okay. He's the guy who walks with the funny walks. Remember the funny walks? What was the television show he had? Fawlty Towers? Was that it?
That sounds right.
Yeah, faulty. He seems like that sounds good.
I took part in a lot of experiments, Danny. Neil deGrasse Tyson is not the only one who spent time experimenting.
Oh, wait. Put that up. Who was Totnes? Yes. Totnes is working on some animation for it. That's great. I don't know how we're going to do. How do you do animation like that, Kevin? Do you know? Do you record the voice first or you do the animation? You probably got to create the animation with a script first.
I think you have to do it that way too.
And then you, yeah.
The voice.
Yeah, the comics first. What am I saying? I've done this before.
That's okay, Danny.
I'm on two cartoon series. I'm trying to pretend I'm an idiot. I am. I'm on two. Anyway, we're not doing my resume right now. What's your resume, Kevin?
You know, I tailor it to every situation.
That's okay, Kevin. Gary's here. Gary, yes.
Look at this.
Now we can see you. The angle makes you look a little bit like a thumb.
I think it looks a lot better. What do you think?
A lot better, yes.
It is. How are you guys?
Good, good. How are you, Gary?
I'm so sorry that my initial appearance on your show was screwed up by me trying to pull off a fast one in the car.
That's okay.
That's okay. Not a good move.
Yes. No, it's not a problem. Kevin's terrible at improv, so it's fine.
It contributes to the tightrope nature of the show.
So this is your third show, I believe?
Fourth,
because I remember I was back in Michigan, and I watched the first one. And it's crazy because, look at this, you have a full-on backdrop of a cityscape. Now, what city is that supposed to be?
No idea.
It's a random city.
But I'm here.
Colony, New York.
Colony, New York.
Okay. And now, Kevin, where are you? Where do you join in the show from?
I'm in the compound on Staten Island.
He's in a basement with several bodies, as you can tell by the wood panel.
I know you guys know each other from stand-up, right?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Right. And well, now, Kevin, you're still doing – I mean, obviously nobody, but are you still – doing stand-up regularly, or what's happening with that?
I haven't been recently. I believe I worked with you in Colorado at Looney's.
Oh, right. Kevin told me about this.
Yes. Wait, what's the club?
I think we played Looney's in Colorado Springs in like 2008.
Never did that club.
Okay.
Nice try, Kevin.
No, that's okay.
You must, I think, Kevin, you're thinking of Marshall Warfield. That was not me. I do know, isn't that the club that had the station wagon that you got to take out and you used it wherever you needed to go? Was that the Looney Bin?
No, I think you're thinking of Ford Field.
I didn't know. I thought there was a club that had a stage wagon. Okay, so I didn't know that. Okay, so no, we. I don't think, unless we worked together at a different club, but it was definitely not Looney's because I've never worked at that club.
And that's probably the case. Like I said earlier about my memory, I've taken part in some experiments.
Well, listen, I thought L.A. was bad in terms of reopening clubs and all the other stuff. You guys, well, in the city, not happening, but in the outer areas, it is happening, right?
I think they're doing it with social distancing.
Okay.
I think they are.
Okay.
I think they are. I'm not in the city, though. I'm upstate New York right now. But
right. Right.
I want to talk about you, Gary. you're interviewing us.
Sorry.
That's I want to talk about you. That's why you're here. People want to know about you.
I get excited. I get excited to see what people are doing.
You can tell you're a podcaster because you immediately take control and then start asking the questions.
Yeah. I'm sure that I've met Kevin. I haven't talked to you officially in a while, Danny, although we've, chatted up through, email and stuff like that. So I get excited when I see people that I haven't seen in a while because I've been caved in. So it's exciting for me. But, not a lot. I mean, things are slow. The warm-up world is very slow to come back if it comes back anytime soon. I mean, a lot of shows right now are doing virtual audiences and, there's guys that are going in and warming up TV monitors. That's, the new norm right now. So, the change is basically, how long is that going to last for? We don't know. But Drew Barrymore, she's got a virtual audience, Kelly Clarkson, Ellen. So a lot of those people, they're still doing warm up, but it's just, it's not what it was. It's not, the same as having, I'm very glad that those people are still working and keeping busy, but as far as Conan goes, which is my primary gig, he's still shooting that show from Largo in Los Angeles. So he's not heading back into the studio anytime soon. So we don't know. I mean, I just saw an article that was posted in Deadline where they interviewed our executive producer. And he basically said that they don't know what the status moving forward is going to be for the show. I mean, are we going to go back to the studio? Conan still has 2 more years on his contract. Is that going to work out? Is he going to, just kind of end it? I don't know. I will say this, this has been the greatest thing ever, is that we're still getting paid for Conan. I mean, we're still getting paid for the production week that we had scheduled at the beginning of the year. And I mean, you want to talk about somebody who is amazing. I mean, that's pretty awesome. So, when the beginning of the year started, we had contracted 30 production weeks and they're still paying us for those 30 weeks. It's amazing. No other show does that. I mean, I feel very lucky.
Yeah, you are lucky. I mean, how did you come across that job? How did you get that job? Because everybody's always wondering, how do you get connected with that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a small world. There's probably 10 people that do audience warm-up in L.A. I don't know. And it just seems like there's, 90% of the guys do most of the shows. So I'm kind of on that maybe B tier where, I kind of collect – what everybody else can't do. I mean, there's like 4 people that do most of the shows. It's like a Roger Lundblad, a Mark Sweet, Ron Pearson, Alan Murray. Like those guys have been doing it for years and years. And, those guys do shows specifically, like, for example, Mark Sweet. He will only do Chuck Lorre shows, and Chuck hires him because he's their good luck charm. I mean, he's done every Chuck Lorre show, Big Bang Theory, Mike and Molly, Mom, like, what a great person to be in with, 2.5 men. I basically started years and years ago when I came down to Los Angeles from San Francisco where I was living, and I went to a TV taping and I saw somebody come out and do the warm-up, and I was like, what is this? I don't know what that job is. What does it entail? But somebody came out and did 15 minutes and I was like, this is pretty cool. And then...
And you were the janitor at the time, right?
Yes. And so what was crazy, you guys, is that how it worked out was when I moved to LA in 2002, I started hanging out at the Late Late Show with then host Craig Kilborn. And it was all right place, right time, because what happened was I would hang out there because I knew somebody that worked for the show. They would get me in. I wouldn't have to wait in line. What people don't understand is these shows, when you go see these shows, it's a long wait. You wait in line. you're treated like cattle. I mean, have you been?
I'm sorry. A bee just flew and landed on my lamp in the basement.
Oh, really?
A bee. From that. Okay, continue. Sorry.
So I just started hanging out at the Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn, and then I was told they basically had two audience warm-up guys. They had a main guy, Roger, but he only did a couple of days a week because he was gone 3 days a week doing sitcoms, which were his financial backing. Like, that's where the money is in sitcoms. Okay. So they had a guy doing 2 days a week, and they really weren't a huge fan. I think he was on the way out. So they basically wanted somebody to come in and replace him and do one or 2 days a week, the 2 days that Roger couldn't do. So I happened to be in the right place at the right time. I auditioned, not knowing anything really about the gig. And I auditioned for a real show with two other guys. And Roger was the guy who eventually got to make the decision because he knew what would work best for the show. And I ended up getting the gig, which was just a great first warm-up gig to have. I mean, it wasn't, you know, some crappy PBS show or some MTV crap.
That's amazing.
It was amazing that was the first show that I got, which then just led to me getting my own gig. Because I remember after that, I worked for Craig Ferguson. And then the next gig after that was Carson Daly, when he brought the show from New York to LA. And I will say, having that show as my own just meant everything. Because when you're the backup to another guy, you just never feel... You don't feel that welcome, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Then when you get the gig on your own, and it's your own gig...
It's kind of like I felt with my ex-wife.
Yeah. You feel like somebody's going to come in there and finish the job.
You got to live up to the regular guy.
No. I should say she's a wonderful person. If she sees it, I don't want anybody to think. She's a wonderful person, great mother. Continue.
I will say, and what's crazy about this business, almost like anything else, is that once you do it enough, the producers who are on your show, the show gets canceled, they move to the next show. And if they like you, great. They'll bring you on. If they don't, you won't get a call again. So that's the benefit to doing something like this. And the crazy thing was, I had never done a sitcom before, because those are always a little harder to break into, because what people don't know is it takes forever to film a sitcom. It takes 4, 5, 6 hours to film those. And you're filling time in between every break that they do, every stop down, every rewrite of the show, every costume change.
You got to keep them excited.
You got to keep them excited. I don't care if it's a show that's brand new to the air or if it's Big Bang Theory. And by the way, I've never had one of those shows where it was on the air for 8 years. I just never had that luxury.
Right.
You know, those gigs are completely taken up. I mean, those people going to those shows are excited before they get to the parking lot waiting to get in.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, I remember once doing, this was weird because I thought it would have been better. I remember I got into doing sitcoms because of Steve Byrne. He had a sitcom.
I was going to bring him up.
Yeah, he asked me to do warm up for it. I didn't really know Steve all that well, but he asked me to do it, and I did it. And did that for 3 seasons, which was great, but then just led to other work. But it was funny. I remember I got a call one night to do, remember Gabriel Iglesias had a show called Mr. Iglesias? It was on Netflix. It was for 2 seasons. He was like a high school history teacher. Kevin, okay. You remember it?
I don't.
And I remember getting a call to do that show, just a one-off, just one night. It was the night before Thanksgiving. They're like, our regular guy can't be here. I remember thinking that was going to be the easiest gig ever. It's all Gabriel fans. I mean, people who spent hundreds of dollars to see him at the Staples Center or Madison Square Garden. It was one of the worst audiences I've ever had because it was all VIPs. It was all friends that didn't care that they were at a TV taping. They just, you know, you see that all the time. They're just they're brutal audience members. And it's just, it wasn't fun. And I remember the script was bad and he was sick and it was just taking a long time for us to film. And, you know, from the word go, you're like, this is brutal. It's just, it's not, this isn't fun.
Well, you know, Steve Byrne, let's go back to Steve Byrne for a second. I knew Steve when I was doing, I first met Steve, I was doing a comedy duo with Claudine Cafaro, and we were doing really well at Caroline's, and Steve was just working, I think at the time, he was just working as a waiter and a performer. They had like, I think they performed around the tables or something. Do you remember when they had the, were you in New York at all as a comic?
Not at all. No.
Okay. They had an upstairs where they had comics that were working, waiting. I don't know if he was waiting tables or if he was just kind of performing for the tables or whatever, but that's where I met Steve. And then when I found out, I haven't talked to Steve in a long time. I bump into him from time to time. But when I found out you knew Steve, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I think the last time you and I hung out was the improv.
Well, you know, here's what's interesting. So what's interesting with Steve is this. I didn't know Steve all that well. I mean, barely. And then Steve got his own sitcom called Sullivan and Son. And they called me and they said, hey, Steve wants you to do warm up on a sitcom. And I was like, oh my God, I've never done warm up on a sitcom before. And it's so hard to get in and do a sitcom just because you got to fill all that time and they don't want to risk hiring somebody new. So I remember the line producer of the show didn't want to hire me because I didn't have any experience, at least with sitcoms. And Steve said to me, hey, listen, don't worry. You're doing warm up on the show. It's my show. I have full control over it. You're going to do warm up. And the one thing that was great about that show, here's what I loved about it, was because it was Steve and because I knew him, it was one of those things that I never got blamed if the audience was bad. I never got yelled at, criticized, whatever. And it was such a good learning tool for me to do that show because those tapings took 6-7 hours and they beat me up. But it was good when I went to another show and just knew how to do it. So because of Steve's show, I ended up getting Dr. Ken because Ken Jeong was a guest star on Steve's show one time. It's weird how work becomes work. And then Steve and I just ended up becoming friends, you know, from that show. And I got to go on tour with them over the summer to promote the show, which was amazing. It's just weird. I mean, you know this business. It's like you never know when you get that call in the morning, is it going to be good news or bad news? I mean, I've had my share of those calls that were bad news. And you're just, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, I know. It's you never know. You never know. I mean, things fall through every time you have a big thing happen. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, there were times where I got fired from warm-up gigs for no reason. I didn't know what was going on. You know, they just wanted to go in a different direction. I remember I got fired from Craig Ferguson. Craig Ferguson's people fired me. And then they tried new people. And then I remember a month later, they brought me back. And it was just a weird time. And I remember they brought me back. And then a few weeks after that, I ended up getting Carson Daly. And it felt so good to be like, sorry, guys, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? You just felt like, oh, now I'm breaking up with you assholes. So it felt good to be one-upping them, you know, after they did it to you. It was really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I got fired as co-host of the Danny McDermott Show. I showed him. I got the Danny McDermott Show.
I fire him all the time. It's just, you know, listen, it's Kevin.
Kevin's lasted for almost 4 weeks now. This is a good sign. He was right. Day one. Yeah. Yes. Don't lose that superstition.
I hired him specifically so I could fire him.
I've had three shorter marriages.
You're what a ball buster.
Oh man. Angela, you're messaging me right now and I can hear the dings on my microphone. So please stop.
And by the way, as I was coming on,
you did it again.
Before you realized my area was too dark. Your buddy Michael, what an amazing story with the cancer and the COVID and fighting. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Oh God, it's an amazing story that I don't have time to tell on this because I'll tell you about it maybe after or another day. But after beating cancer, he decided he wanted to help people, and he saw a post that I did on Facebook, and he came to my rescue. I didn't know the guy. He came and my car broke down. He helped me pick up all my stuff, brought it back to my apartment. I didn't even know him. But it's a long story. It's a long story. But I want to talk more about
left you out there.
Huh?
If he knew you, he would have left you out there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. He wishes he did. I paid him to comment, actually. He would never do that if I didn't pay him. I just pay him to be my friend now. So, Gary, what else do you do besides? You do a lot more than warm up audiences.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I love doing. But, you know, when things are kind of up and running, I mean, you know, I'll go on the road with Steve. We were supposed to do a USO tour a couple of months ago. Obviously, that's not happening. You know, Steve and I had a podcast for a long time that, listen, I love doing. But it, listen, it's hard because you just don't know what's going to work, what's going to get traction. And I got to tell you, Steve and I were really proud of the guests that we were getting on our podcast. And I realized early on, it was pretty easy to get guests if you just lied. Like I would call up these, I would call up these book publishers and just say, you know, we have this amount of viewers and listeners, and you know, we think so-and-so would be perfect for the show. And listen, there's no way of finding out if this is true. And right. I got to tell you, it worked. I mean, we had Robert O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden. We had, you know.
Really?
The, oh, yeah.
Can he kill Kevin? No.
I'm working on
Kevin. Problem, Danny.
This is the number one show in the Japan portion of Africa. By far.
But it was funny because you get a couple of guests on board like that, and then all of a sudden what you do is you just reach out to the publisher, you say who you've had on, and not only will they send you a free copy of the book, they'll schedule the author who, you know, boy, we had on who was the guy? He did Jason Hahir. He just did the whole Michael Jordan doc. Wasn't that the guy?
Oh, what?
Yeah, I mean, he did. He was the same guy that did Andre the Giant for HBO. And then he did this whole, we interviewed him when he did the Andre the Giant doc. And it was amazing. Like, what these people think that they're calling in and spending 45 minutes with you. Meanwhile, we're getting four listeners.
Right.
And, you know, if they had only known that they were wasting their time with us.
Kind of like this show. Kind of like we live you.
There would have been. It was just amazing. Like, you know, we'd be like, hey, let's try. There was a time, and this was maybe one of my favorite episodes, when I did a corporate gig in Vegas years ago. I don't even remember what year it was. It was years ago. And I did the gig, and the woman wrote me a scathing review. Just what a joke I was. I bombed. I this and that. And Steve, every podcast would read the review on Gigmasters. Every would open the show with reading the review on Gigmasters. Gary showed up late. He didn't wear the tuxedo we bought. His comedy was bad. So I said to myself, I'm going to find out if I can get in touch with this lady and get her on the podcast. So
did you really?
Yes. So believe it or not, I had an old AOL email account from this woman. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to throw it out there, see if she's available. She responded and she said, I would love to come on your podcast. And I said, just know it's not going to be us ganging up on you. We think it's funny. I would love to chat about, you know, what the experience was like for you, what it was for me. So when we get on the podcast, Steve's about to read the review like he always does.
Okay.
Start the show. And I said, hey, Steve, hold off on the review. Let's grab this call first, and then we can move forward. And when we picked up the phone, it was that woman who then read the review for us on the podcast, which was great. It was just a great moment. I loved it. She just,
dude, that is awesome.
And she was making fun of me, and it was just, she was a great sport about, you know, what happened that night and all this other stuff. But she railed me in the review on Gigmasters, and I literally had to pull the Gigmasters post down because I wasn't getting any more work. I mean, that was hard enough.
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy. I would have brought her on. I would have brought her on, told her how great she was, and then just just destroy her.
We felt so bad. But
no, I wouldn't. I mean, that was actually. A nice way to do it, because then you show you're taking the higher ground.
Yeah. And listen, it was years ago. And just to kind of like mend fences and just kind of put a button on it. It was great. It was really just, you know, another person that I really wanted on the podcast, and we ended up getting him. And to me, it was great. We had Chris Hansen on from To Catch a Predator.
Like, oh, wow. I'm
a fan of that show. And again, it was all just, hey, you want to come on and do the Gentleman's Dojo? We have 8 million listeners. You can't verify it. Like, it just like, it was the funniest thing ever. You know, we just didn't care. So I think Steve and I, you know, now Steve has moved to Nashville and he's got, you know, this great new movie out called The Opening Act.
I didn't know he moved to Nashville.
He moved, well, he's in Florida right now as they're transitioning to move to Nashville, but he's definitely going to be there by the end of the year.
Is he going to stay there? He's not. For those of you guys who don't know, Steve Byrne is a fantastic comedian. He had a show, Sullivan and Son, for how many years?
Three years.
A lot of my friends were on that show. Ahmed was on that show. Everybody was on that show.
Everybody was on the show too.
Except for me, Steve.
I didn't get on it. Just so you know, I didn't.
I know. Why didn't you get on it?
I don't know. I didn't push it. I never. I think they were going to write me into one of the episodes. I never pushed it. I just, you know, listen. I had this great gig doing warm up. I collected a great paycheck every week. I didn't want to. Didn't want to ruin it. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You can't really push it, right? You know. Yeah, that's why they're friends with you, because they know you're not going to be a dick and constantly push them to, you know.
Absolutely. Now, who's this Buzz Richardson fella?
Buzz Richardson. Bring Bud's comment back up. He has some brother in him.
Is that – I don't, that's funny. Okay, I remember a guy named Buzz who used to be the sound engineer at the Richmond Funny Bone. That can't be the same guy.
No, this guy is a talent manager. He works with people from Legion M, all the people who are producing this show, who are helping out right now. A lot of them are in the chat room. So,
I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they're all commenting. It's a great network of people. I'll introduce you to them too. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Listen, we got a lot of great experience from our show. I would love to do something again with Steve, but what you probably know, the whole part of the podcasting world is consistency. If you say you're going to do a show every Wednesday, do it. If you are going to release a podcast once a week, do it on the same day every week, because I've seen podcasts that aren't that great, but yet people that release them and they're consistent, that's what's going to get traction. You can't start falling out. It's not going to work. There's
no, you know what? I could never do it if I wanted to, because Angela Joseph will not let me.
No. And you have a sidekick that, you know, he's relying to feed his family on this whole show. So it's like, you really got to make sure that this is what's happening.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what though. I think, Gary, I'm going to start online dating and see if I can't bring a few negative reviews on this show and just take over.
you really need listen, I did that gig in Vegas. I thought the gig wasn't great, but I didn't think it was as savage as that. I remember I woke up to that review in the morning, and I remember driving from Vegas back to LA with just a knot in my stomach. I didn't think that they were going to pay me the remainder of what they owed me. I think they owed me another like $600.
And wow.
Yeah, I was just like, they're not going to pay me, and I had to fight them on it, like, because they didn't want to pay me, but you know, they finally did. And it's just great. Like how years later, that whole thing just kind of.
Isn't that crazy that a reviewer, you know, she doesn't realize you're struggling. You know what I mean? And she just destroys you like that.
Doesn't realize it. I mean, listen, you know, we've all done those shows. I remember.
Everybody has a bad show. Oh, everybody.
I've given myself that review.
Kevin has a lot of bad shows all the time.
I've had this. Have you ever had this happen where you do a corporate gig and they tell you you're gonna do 15 minutes. And then I remember I was doing like 6 minutes and somebody from the back walked up and they're walking towards me with an envelope. And I knew that was my check. And I knew that was the end of the night. Like I just knew, I'm fine. I'm just like, there's no hard feelings here. I could care less.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
People don't realize just how hard stand-up comedy is.
Brutal.
I once did a corporate show where to the left of me, they were online for the buffet, and to the right of me, they were online for drinks.
And and they just want you to just keep going. Like, I mean, you know, listen, they're not concerned about the lights. They're not concerned about the microphone.
Nope.
They're not concerned that people should be sitting there without food in front of them. They just don't realize that any of that's important. And it is. It's huge.
Yeah, it is. Every little thing is important, and they don't do any of it. And they're like, why do you suck?
Right.
It's like, because you didn't set it up and prepare the people. They're not sitting. They're walking around. There's a dance floor over there and people are dancing. I mean, you know, you got to set it up. You got to make people sit. They can't stand. Don't even, you know, I produced for 8 years in New York, 4 different rooms. You get me started on it. Don't even. Yeah, no, I'll go for hours.
If it's set up the right way, it can be incredible. But yeah. If it's not, which is most of the time, it's not going to be good.
Nope. It's true.
No, it's true. The check has to be good. And it has to get all in.
I always send Kevin first.
That's key.
To see if it sucks.
I've gotten smarter in my years. Now I wrangle it to where I scoop the noodles and put them on people's plates.
And then you run to the microphone. Yes.
No, he has the microphone telling the jokes while he's serving the people.
Laughing, no, there's no sex.
One and done.
Does the first line, he's like, would you like pepper?
Fresh pepper.
I actually did a show where it was so bad. Who was it? Bob DeBono and me, I think, did a show. You know Bob?
Yes. DeBono?
Okay. I think it might have been me and Bob DeBono. We got booked for this show, and there was no stage. There was no lights. We basically walked around with a cordless mic telling jokes from table to table while everybody's eating and talking. It was the most ridiculous thing we'd ever experienced. And we got paid, but it was awful.
Just brutal.
I'd rather not even do it than, you know what I mean?
Listen, it's got to be like going to Times Square on New Year's Eve. It makes for a great story after, but it's not a fun experience.
Right, right. It's absolutely brutal. I mean, there's some that are great, a lot of fun. You know what I mean? I remember I did a gig one time for Colgate. It was a 3-day event. The money was incredible. They were all half days. It was really just amazing. And I'll never forget. It was basically the first day was from like 1 to 5. And then the next 2 days were from 8 to noon. It was all half days. And I remember after the very first day on Monday, the whole group got together, all 200, and they were drinking and it was open bar. And I just remember going out with them and just getting canned. And I'll never forget. I got back to the room. I woke up the next day and just completely hungover. And one of the big wigs pulled me aside and said, hey, do us a favor. Make sure that you get to bed early. And I was like, yeah, I mean, obviously they're paying me decent money to be here and not go out and party it up with the staff. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah, of course. So I will say that the next night I was in certainly early. Like I was like, oh, okay. I gotta make sure. They're not paying me to go out and get drunk.
Right.
Of course.
That's why I hear if you do that on a cruise ship, you get fired.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I haven't done cruise ships, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in the audience of a corporate show where the comedians were from the New York Comedy Club. Oh, that's interesting.
Linda. Oh, that's Linda talking, guys. It wasn't Gary. Gary, it sounded like you were saying it. It sounded like it was you. How did Linda read his mind?
I read it in Linda's voice, just so you know. I did read it in Linda's voice, just so we were there.
Yeah, Linda's a friend too. You know, one of the worst things out of you must have done this. Have you ever done an old folks home?
Yeah, years ago, recently.
It's awful. Half of them are asleep. Half of them are so senile they can't remember the setup. And I was doing this thing, doing my jokes, my regular jokes, and all of a sudden, the two old guys from the Muppets in one man was sitting there just heckling me. Go, I don't like your jokes. You're not funny at all. You know what I mean? So not only was half the people sleeping, but I got this guy heckling. So I just started doing bar jokes.
Yeah.
You know, all those bar jokes you tell at a bar, what's a blonde jokes, all that kind of stuff. And by the end, the guy's like, I loved you. You were great.
Oh my God.
They always
really
say that.
So what are your projects you're working on now?
Well, I mean, not really much. I mean, I'm working on putting together my corporate reel so I have it when things start opening up. Working on just little things that I don't get a chance to do when things are kind of up and running. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you know this or whatever, but I'm huge into like dog rescue stuff. So I spend a lot of time during the week rescuing and transporting and, you know, getting the dog from the shelter to its new foster. And like, that's my huge passion project. So, you know, that's the great thing about if there's, you know, positive to this whole thing is that it's really allowed me to, you know, help, you know, jump on the road and, you know, kind of help dogs and, you know, do that whole thing, which I absolutely love. And we have a ton of dogs at the house and we foster a lot of dogs and, you know, it's a blast. I love it. I love seeing these dogs walk out of the shelter that have been there for 6 months to a year. It's amazing.
Wow. Now, is there any type of dog shelter thing you want our listeners to know about that they can?
Well, listen, there's so many dog rescues out there, you know, with there's like Little Red Dog, Beeple's Buddies. There's concerned citizens, you know. So listen, I think the biggest thing for me is we always have lack or a shortage of fosters. So right. If people could foster for a couple of weeks just until that dog found a forever home, then more dogs could be saved. I mean, that's the big thing. We always, there's so many dogs we want to save, but we just can't because there's a shortage of fosters. So if more people, if they could open up their homes, then it would make things easier for us to go grab that dog and it make them at least safe for right now, which, you know, is half the battle.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, great. Kevin's a rescue.
What's that?
Kevin's a rescue.
Put him in a crate.
I am. We did a lot of clicker training, and I stay quiet in between seconds.
There you go. That's what you have to do. That's it.
He's actually, yeah, we put him in a cage after the show.
Oh, Jane helps foster. Oh, that's great. Jane Doe, Angela Joseph, I help foster. I fall in love and keep as many, so I help now, which is what I do too. That's great. Thank you, Jane Doe, Angela Joseph.
She's the producer.
Oh, that's fantastic. Even better. Pet rescue. There it is. I love it.
Yep. These guys all love that. All right. So where can people find you?
Well, they can go to GaryCannon.com or Pornhub. I mean, both of those places will definitely lead you to me. And, you know, you can see some mother-son action. No, it's go to GaryCannon.com for all things Gary Cannon. And, yeah, I would love it. I watched your first show. I've seen it evolve. And despite the bumpy start, I think we ended on a high note.
I think so.
I think we did. Yes.
And Kevin is looking for a forever home, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So.
We'll look it up.
I'm already microchipped.
That's all we need. Yeah. That's
all we need. Yeah. He'll run off and you'll be able to find him.
We'll get him. Thank you guys for having me. It's been
Gary, fun. Thank you. Thank
Danny,
you.
Danny, Kevin, always a pleasure. And congrats on the show, episode number 4.
Yes.
And, yeah. Awesome. I appreciate Gary, you guys having me.
This is the best show we've had yet, Gary. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you guys.
I only got fired once. It's awesome.
Kevin, I'll see you at the Looney Bin in Denver very soon.
All right, and we'll be talking soon.
Absolutely, of course. Thank you, guys.
Okay, brother.
Bye, guys.
Bye. All right, guys. Thank you so much for checking out our show. This is our time. We're done. I got to put Kevin back in the cage. So let's roll the song.
I need a bowl of water. Last week, I didn't get water.
Special guest today, Gary Cannon.